Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Much needed win. You just heard Tim Roy recap it all right there. The Warriors got the job done. They earned the W. They're back to two games above 500 at 19-17 as they knock off the Utah Jazz 123-114. Welcome into Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you live from Chase Center, the site of tonight's basketball game. Again, the Warriors knock off the Jazz 123-114. It's nearly a double digit win. It would have been a double digit win if it wasn't for a last second garbage time dunk that drew some boos from the Chase Center crowd, but it wasn't an easy one for the Warriors. This was one where they were trailing at the half in this one. They were down at halftime by 7 points, 65-58, and they were down 12 relatively, soon before halftime. This was a game where the Warriors were down double digits relatively late in the second quarter, and they turned it on specifically late in the second quarter, and then they dominated offensively, at least, the third quarter, led by Steph Curry. Steph finishes with 31 in this game. 20 of his 31 came in the third quarter alone. He was amazing in that quarter. He played nearly the entire quarter. I asked him post-game about playing nearly all 12 minutes in the third quarter. He said he always likes when Steve Kerr lets him play as long as possible in a single quarter when he has it rolling, as he did in that third quarter. And then he rested for the first full half of the fourth quarter, the first full 6 minutes of that fourth quarter, and the Warriors actually added to their lead. Will Richard made two big threes early in the fourth quarter. The Warriors were getting the ball to Jimmy Butler a little bit more down the stretch as well, and they also relied on their defense. The defense really buckled down in the fourth quarter. Utah's shots stopped falling. The Warriors only allowed 18 points in the fourth quarter after giving up 29, 36, 31 in the first three. Warriors weren't as good offensively in the fourth either, but when your defense only allows 18 points, it doesn't really matter. And the Warriors not cruise in the fourth quarter, but with like about 4 or 5 minutes left, you felt like this one was pretty safe, and the Warriors ultimately win 123-114. It was Steph who jump-started this team in the third quarter, and without what he did in that third. Again, the Warriors scored 42 points in the third. Steph scored 20 of them by himself. The Warriors would have lost this game if it wasn't for Steph's greatness. That's just how great Steph was in this game. Now, there was another interesting sequence in this one, and it happened relatively late in the first half. Draymond Green got ejected. Warriors down by 8, 56-48 Utah, about 2.5 left in the second quarter. Draymond Green is defending Kyle Filipowski, and Filipowski tries to drive baseline on Draymond Green from the left corner and ultimately gets trapped and picks up his dribble under the basket. So he's standing in the paint under the basket with the dribble picked up. There's nowhere he can go. Draymond is doing a great job pressuring him and forcing him into something. And after what seemed to me to be much longer than 3 seconds of him being in the key, he ultimately passed the ball out to Lauri Markkanen from the left wing. Lauri Markkanen just, you know, goes right to the hoop and dunks because Draymond Green stopped playing in the moment and was arguing with the official who had not called the three in the key call. As a result, Markkanen dunks the ball. Warriors go down 10. And right after the play, after the dunk, Draymond Green picks up a technical. In the ensuing moments after that technical foul call, Draymond walks towards the free throw line, top of the key, continues talking, gets a second tech, and he's ejected from the basketball game. The Jazz make both of the technical free throws, so it's a 4-point possession, and the lead goes up to 12 at 60-48 with 2:25 to go in the first half. Maybe you point at that moment as the turning point in this basketball game, because that was Utah's largest lead. Their largest lead tonight, 12 points, and after those technical free throws, it was 60-48 Utah. That is the 12-point lead, the largest lead for Utah. The aftermath of Draymond Green's ejection gives Utah that 12-point lead. The Warriors respond with a 10-5 run to close the first half to get within 7 at halftime at 65-58. So they were plus 5 once Draymond got ejected in the first half. And then in the third quarter, the Warriors exploded. Now, I think it's right to point out that the defense was still really bad in the third quarter. Utah in the third quarter, let me make sure I get this number right. Utah scored 31 points, which in today's NBA like isn't an absurd number, but 31 points is not what you're going for as a defense. But they shot 67% from the field in the third quarter. They only got 18 shots up. By comparison, the Warriors got 25 shots up in that third quarter. The Jazz were 12 for 18 from the field, 4 for 7 from deep. The big difference, though, and it's kind of crazy to see this work in the Warriors' favor, is Utah committed 7 turnovers in that third quarter, and the Warriors turned those 7 turnovers into 11 points off of turnovers in that third quarter alone, and it was that quarter that made the turnover battle even for the entire basketball game. Both teams turned the ball over 15 times. The points off of turnovers were 20-22, so no real edge to be gained there from that. But you look at what the numbers were in the first half. The Warriors had 10 turnovers. Utah scored 16 points off of those turnovers. The Jazz had 6 turnovers, and the Warriors only scored 7 points off of those turnovers. So the defense, when they were giving up shots, were not getting stops, but they were forcing a lot of turnovers, and that was leading to the Warriors' offense on the other end. And as an offense, they put up 42 points, shot 64% from the field, made 6 threes, and they, again, only turned the ball over twice in that third quarter. So the turnover battle and making shots was the big difference. Draymond's absence, like, we can have a conversation about this. And if you want to weigh in, give me a call, shoot me a text at 888-957-9570. It's Mark Grandy with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up, live from Chase Center as the Dubs knock off the Jazz 123-114. Draymond checks out. The Warriors close the half. Checks out. He got ejected from the game after picking up a couple of technicals, and I haven't heard what Steve Kerr said about it. I was in the room for Steph Curry's post-game presser before making my way over here to our broadcast location for the post-game show. Steph Curry essentially said that the consensus in the locker room was what Draymond said to the officials was not ejection worthy. That's what Steph Curry said. I don't know what Steve Kerr said about it. The other thing that Steph Curry said was, you know, Draymond just is glad that we won the basketball game. That's the only thing that he cares about. We're going to hear from Steph, and we're going to hear from Steve coming up a little bit later on here in the show. But Draymond Green gets ejected. First of all, about the ejection, let's just talk about this before we dive into what happened afterwards. It was absolutely 3 seconds in the key. absolutely. Filipowski was buried in the key for so much longer than 3 seconds. It probably was closer to 5 seconds than it was to 3 seconds. Should it have been called? Yes, absolutely it should have been called. There's no doubt in my mind. It feels like the three in the key call is one where it's kind of, it more has to be like a full 4 seconds in the key for it to get called. Like if you're in the key for just 3 seconds, they give you a little bit of leeway to get out of there. It's also a call that so often is away from where fans are looking, because fans are looking at the ball. And you can't be you can't just plant yourself in the key on defense either. And that's, of course, oftentimes when you're not even involved in the play, when a big man is just kind of roaming the paint, gets called for a defensive 3 seconds. But an offensive 3 seconds with the ball in your hand, everyone is watching that play. And everyone is watching that player and watching them plant themselves in the paint. And in Filipowski's case, who was trapped by Draymond right under the basket, he is in the key for a whole lot longer than 3 seconds. So the first thing that we should say is Draymond is absolutely right to be frustrated. He defended the hell out of Filipowski there, and he earned a turnover. That should have been a turnover on Utah. Okay, that's part one. Part two is, I don't care how frustrated you are by a missed call and how right you are in your frustration, you cannot quit on a play before the play is over. Because Draymond stopped defending Filipowski and stopped defending Lauri Markkanen, who was racing right at him to argue with the official, and that led to a Markkanen dunk. And then we can argue whether the technicals were fair or not. The Warriors say they were not. And I'm generally going to trust what Steph Curry has to say about it, considering those are the guys that know what warrants a technical. They hear what's said on the floor all of the time. Even for Draymond standards, they said it did seem to be a little soft in terms of an ejection. So that is completely fair, I think, from Draymond's perspective. One, he was right. That should have been a three in the key. Two, maybe what he said shouldn't have warranted an ejection. All I'm saying is, Draymond, I don't like you stop playing before the play is over. And I don't really care how frustrated you are. That led to the Markkanen dunk. It put the Jazz up by 10. The technical free throws put them up by 12. And that was the Warriors' largest deficit. That's how I feel about the sequence that happened there towards the end of the first half. And again, I want to hear from you guys. 888-957-9570. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. Again, 888-957-9570. That's both the number to call, and it is the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. The 415 is asking the question that I think a lot of people want to talk about. And we're going to get into this here. The 415 says, is it twice now this season that the team plays faster and wins when Draymond is out? 415, I think we can point to three outings now in which I think that has happened. And I think it's been pretty drastic for two. The third one you can make up for yourself if there's anything there. This is now, though, for Draymond Green, the third time in which he hasn't finished a home game in the last four home games he's played. He did not play last night. They held him out. They rested him. But in his last four home games played, he has not finished the game in three of them. And I say it that way because twice he was ejected. He was also ejected in that home game versus Phoenix. Remember that home and home they had with the Suns? They lost the game in Phoenix, and they returned home and beat them narrowly here at Chase Center versus Devin Booker, Dylan Brooks, and the Suns. He was ejected in the second quarter of that game. And then there was the weirdness of that Orlando game where after a turnover that he committed in the third quarter, he got into a little bit of an argument with Steve Kerr on the bench after Kerr called the timeout, and I would imagine said something to him about that turnover. And Draymond said post-game that he just felt himself, you know, kind of bubbling up to the point where he thought the best thing for him was to just get out of there. So he left the bench, walked down the tunnel towards the locker room, and then eventually returned to the bench for the fourth quarter, but missed the vast majority of the third quarter, wasn't even on the bench. So we have those two instances plus this instance. Two ejections and one time where he kind of just left the bench entirely because he was frustrated and got into a little bit of a spat with Steve Kerr. I think he and Steve Kerr are in a fine spot. I don't think there's anything personal at all. They have talked about how they had discussions after that and they squashed whatever those frustrations were. But this is now three instances in Draymond Green's last four home games where, for whatever reason, he didn't finish the game. Now, he was available and would have gone back in, I would imagine, if Steve Kerr called upon him in that Orlando game, but this is what the 415 is getting at. Again, the 415's text on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, and you can join the conversation at 888-957-9570. The team plays faster and wins when Draymond is out, is what the 415 is asking. So let's just look at tonight. Tonight for the Warriors.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
After Draymond Green got ejected. So he got ejected with the Warriors down by 12, 60-48. The Jazz had that lead, 60-48, with 2:25 left in the second quarter. The rest of the game, which means the final 2:25 of the second and the entire second half, that is 26 minutes and 25 seconds worth of basketball. Again, the entire second half and the final basically 2.5 of the second quarter. The Warriors outscored the Utah Jazz 75-54. 75-54 Warriors after Draymond Green ejected. That's a 12-point deficit turned into a 9-point win. Warriors were plus 21 after Draymond Green's ejection. Remember, again, as I was laying out, the ejection versus Phoenix early in the second quarter, that game that was just before Christmas. The Warriors down 10 in the second quarter, early in the second quarter, when Draymond gets ejected. The Warriors, the rest of the way, outscore Phoenix 81-68. So they were a plus 13 without Draymond Green in that one. This is the one where that's the game where I said it wasn't as egregious the edge the Warriors had after Draymond Green exited the game. But from down 10 with Draymond to a three-point win because you were plus 13 after Draymond's ejection. And then tonight, the Orlando game, which was also just before Christmas. The Warriors were down 5 when Draymond got ejected relatively early when he walked off the court to the locker room early in the third quarter. The Warriors were down by 5, and once he left, it took the Warriors a little bit to kind of click it into gear, but they eventually did, and they outscored Orlando 54-26 the rest of the way. That's a plus 28-point edge after Draymond Green left the floor against Orlando. Again, he would have been available to come back into the game. Steve Kerr's frustration and the fact that the Warriors started dominating once Draymond left led him to not choose Draymond Green to come back into the game, and the rest of the way the Warriors were a plus 28. So in those three games, three of his last four home games played that he has not finished, either ejected or left the court, the Warriors, in those instances, from the moment that he left the game, are a plus 62 without Draymond Green. Just giving you all the numbers, you can draw your own opinion. And if you want to weigh in, give me a call and shoot me a text, 888-957-9570. Tonight, the Warriors, a plus 21 after Draymond Green got ejected. Phoenix ejection, they were a plus 13 once he left. And when he left the floor versus Orlando, the Warriors were a plus 28 once he left. This is... I absolutely think there's something worth discussing here, and it is the addition of Jimmy Butler into the Warriors' offense. Does it make it a little more challenging for the Warriors offensively to include Draymond Green in some of these lineups? I think that is a fair conversation that we can have. I know Draymond Green hasn't been as... I'll put it this way. I still think Draymond Green is one of the best and most unique defenders that this league has. Is he as good as he was 5 years ago? No, but that's the natural way of things once you get into your mid to upper 30s. That is not a knock on Draymond Green. That's just the way things work. I still think he is a positive defender. But with what the limitations are offensively and with the changing personnel on the Warriors' offense, I think there is a fair conversation that we can have. We can sit down and discuss this about how Draymond Green's impact offensively maybe is changing a little bit. Does Jimmy Butler do some of what Draymond Green does offensively? And is there a little bit of an overlap there? And it kind of goes back to why the Warriors have had a hard time connecting Draymond Green Jonathan Kuminga with some of these lineup combinations, right? Because you have already a player in Jimmy Butler who, despite the numbers from deep, the three-point numbers, the shooting numbers percentage-wise are pretty darn good, which is great news for the Warriors. He's not instilling fear in defenses from out there. He's going to take like one or two a game, and he made one, which was like a one-footer, which is kind of like the Dirk or the Jokic, or we're also seeing LaMelo Ball, who we watched in Charlotte when the Warriors beat him, take one-footed. That's more of a one-footed running three. Jimmy did more of the Dirk, the one-footed, like, lean-back jumper, and he hit that one, which was pretty cool. But when you have a number of your key players that are sharing the floor together often, and multiple of those guys aren't threats from the outside, it does make things more difficult offensively. And I also think it's interesting, oftentimes what you will hear the Warriors say, and I think they're absolutely right to say this because the evidence of the last decade plus is right there staring at you in the face. Steph is at his best when Draymond's on the floor. I think that has basically always been true. Tonight, though, I mean, this is a relatively small sample for just tonight, but this is a giant piece of evidence that suggests that Steph Curry can be fine without Draymond on the floor. Now, again, it's one game, and it's one half of basketball that I'm talking about, and specifically for Steph, it's one quarter. He scored 2 points in the fourth quarter in his, like, 6 minutes play. That was it. But in the third quarter, where he played nearly every waking second of that quarter, he scored 20 points in the third, and he didn't share the floor with Draymond for a second of that third quarter. So, I don't know. I want to hear from you guys. Like, what do you think about this? Is this evidence that the Draymond Green's impact is lessening? 888-957-9570. Again, I still think that he is absolutely an animal defensively, and what he does cannot be replicated on that end of the floor, and the Warriors are absolutely, I think, going to need Draymond. But the evidence of what happens offensively recently when Draymond leaves the floor, it is pretty staggering. It is pretty staggering. So we can discuss that. There's no doubt about it. Again, 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Himself, a really nice performance in this one. He kind of came into the game as not an afterthought, but as someone that they needed to throw at some of the big bodies of Utah, and no Yusuf Nurkic tonight, so you didn't have to deal with him, and he's kind of more your prototypical center, older school center, big body, strong, going to battle you on the glass and going to try to score from down low. Lauri Markkanen is kind of an inside-out center, and you could call him a center. He's probably more of a stretch four in today's NBA, but he is 7 feet tall, and he's playing as their center oftentimes. They also got a big guy in Kyle Filipowski, the young guy out of Duke. Taylor Hendricks played a little bit as well. But he came in, and while Lauri Markkanen, I think, did get to TJD on the Utah offensive end a little bit, I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis did a pretty good job defensively. He's getting a good sense of when to cut from the dunker spot, how to make himself and present himself to ball handlers and to drivers, and he's kind of sneaking into good spots on the offensive end, and he was battling on the glass as well. He finished with 6 rebounds in this game. I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis had a good game. I thought two of the biggest shots in this basketball game were by a rookie. In Will Richard. And Will Richard finishes this game with 18 minutes played and only 8 points. But he hit, arguably, to me, two of the biggest shots in this basketball game. So Steph plays basically the entire third quarter, and we're going to hear Steph Curry talk about it. I wanted to ask him about it in his post-game presser, and you'll hear his answer to it in just a little bit. But he's running on fumes at that point, essentially. He's going to say he wasn't, but he's tired. He's gassed at that point. He obviously can't begin the fourth quarter, and his heroics put them up by 4, but now you got to survive while Steph Curry rests for at least 4, 5, 6 minutes. He ended up resting for 6 minutes, but you need to stay afloat at least. And the Warriors took a 4-point lead, and it expanded to 11 while Steph rested over those first 6 minutes of the fourth, and 6 of those points came from Will Richard, who made 2 threes early in the fourth, helped push the Warrior lead to double digits, and then it just kind of jockeyed back and forth from, you know, 8-point lead, 9-point lead to a 12-point lead, and it just was right around there the entire rest of the fourth quarter after those 2 early Will Richard threes, and then that was basically the ball game. So Will Richard, 2 really big threes for the Warriors in this one, and then D'Anthony Melton, good to see his shot go down. Melton finished with 13 points, made 3 threes, was 5 for 11 from the field, and he closed, as did Trayce Jackson-Davis, by the way. It was great to see Melton have that impact offensively, because he's been shooting 17% from deep. 17% from deep so far this season. It's a very small sample size, but his shot has not quite been found just yet in game action, but maybe tonight is a sign of things to come for Melton, who was 3 for 7 from downtown. All right, 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Again, give me a call, shoot me a text, 888-957-9570. The 707 asks or types in, texts in on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. We need, being the Warriors, need to make the logical decision to trade Dre and Kuminga for Anthony Davis. There you go, 707. Yes, your text is going to be on the show. I mean, the report was that the Mavericks called the Warriors to gauge their interest in Anthony Davis. I don't think the Warriors have interest in Anthony Davis. I think if the Warriors are going to make a move like that, they're going to need someone that they can rely on to play the majority of basketball games, and someone who's not going to be due for a max extension contract very soon, and one where it might cripple the future of your team because you're going to have to pay him so much money to make the trade worth it in the first place to keep him around. But as he advances in age, he's likely going to play fewer and fewer minutes. But 707, I think it's a fair question. There's a lot of Warrior fans who are probably wondering the same thing. All right, more of your texts, your calls, plus Steve Kerr and Steph Curry postgame as we continue to react to this Warrior win. 123-114 is the final score. The Dubs knock off the Jazz. We're back with more after this. It's Warriors wrap-up. Mark Randy live from Chase Center. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Warrior defense helping, otherwise not good. Curry in front of the logo! Just one step in front of the logo! Utterly ridiculous! To make it 96-93, he's got 27. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
That was just a classic Curry flurry. They never get old. I mean, the dude's 37. He's pushing 38. He played basically the entire third quarter. Let's just read Steph's numbers, and I'll split it up like from half the first half, and then we'll take a look at the third quarter. Welcome back. It's Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you live from Chase Center as the Dubs knock off the Jazz. Final score, 123-114. Warriors down as many as 12 late in the first half. They get it within 7 to go to halftime. Then they explode. The offense, 42 points in the third quarter. Steph scored 20 of those. It wasn't just Steph. Obviously, I mean, he scored nearly half of them, but the others got it going offensively as well in that third quarter. And obviously, when Steph gets it going, it becomes so much easier on everybody else. Like, there was a play in the third quarter where Steph's in the middle of his Curry flurry, and he's at the top of the key. I can't remember if somebody came up to set a screen, but I believe it was GP2, I think, who caught the ball like just a little bit extended from the free throw line, a little past the free throw line, but on the top of the key, because not two, but like three defenders were shaded to Steph to get the ball out of his hands. So Steph then just drops it off to GP2, and the guy guarding TJD down low then has to step up to stop GP2, and GP2 makes the easy, smart pass to Trayce Jackson-Davis, who is by himself under the basket. And that's what Steph Curry does. Steph 24/7, you know, scares defenses and freaks them out. But when Steph is on a Steph heater like that, scoring 20 points in a quarter, he puts the fear of God into these defenses, where they would rather just force the ball out of Steph's hands to the point where two other NBA players from like the free throw line in are being defended by one player. They would rather that than give Steph any kind of look at the three-point line. That's what Steph does. So like when we say Steph scored 20 of the Warriors' 42 points, that's like the literal definition. Steph scored 20 of the...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. you're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Points himself, but Steph's impact on the other buckets, like, you can't measure that in a box score, and that's what makes Steph so absolutely incredible, because he just changes the geometry of the basketball court when he's on the floor 24/7. He could be going 0 for 7 from 3 over the course of a 5-minute stretch, and he's still having a bigger impact on that team's defense than almost every other player in the league, because Steph is Steph, and the thing that teams want to avoid more than anything else when they're playing the Warriors is a Steph Curry hot streak, and that's what happened in the third quarter. Man, Steph was awesome, and it never gets old watching him put on shows like that. But he was relatively quiet in the first half. Steph in the first half, 9 points on 7 shots, was 2 for 7 in the first half from the field, 2 for 6 from downtown, and scored those 9 points. Not like a terrible half by any stretch, but it's nowhere near to Steph's standards. And you're thinking, okay, what does he have in store for us in the second half? Well, in the third quarter, after scoring 9 points in the first half on 2 of 7 shooting, Steph scores 20 points in the third, 6 for 8 from the field, 4 for 6 from downtown, got to the line 4 times and made all of them. And that turned what was a 7-point halftime deficit into a 4-point Warrior advantage going into the fourth. And then a couple of Will Richard threes kind of turned this one around. Man, Steph was awesome in that third quarter. Better than awesome. I mean, a 20-point quarter. Steph has a lot of them, but do not make a mistake. Do not be mistaken. That is rare to see a player score 20 points in a single quarter. And Steph makes it look relatively easy at times. That's just how special he is. Warriors used that third quarter where the Warriors scored 42 points. Like, Quentin Post also scored 8 points in that quarter, made 2 big threes in that quarter. You got 4 points from GP2, 4 more from Trayce Jackson-Davis, and then a few others with a bucket here or there. It was basically all Steph Curry with the 8 from Quentin Post, and that's why this game flipped. And it's why the Warriors run out of Chase Center with a win tonight, 123-114, and one they absolutely had to have. And we'll run through the schedule before we get on out of here, because I think tonight it's not a must win. It's early January, but for the Warriors to really like take themselves seriously, they had to win tonight, and they got the job done. Thanks, in large part because of what Steph did in that third quarter. 20 points in the third after he had just 9 in the entire first half. Speaking of Steph, let's hear from Steph, because Steph addressed the media post game tonight inside of Chase Center after he led the Warriors to a 123-114 win. Here's Steph Curry addressing the media postgame, fresh off his 31-point performance. Here's Steph.
What kind of got you going in the third? Just got some clean looks and then understood what they were trying to do defensively. And taking advantage of switches. And then we played great defense for most of that quarter, which gave us some transition opportunities too when I was able to run. Beat the defense where they get set up. So they usually plays into our hands. Thankfully, shots went in and gave us a lot of momentum. And that group that started the fourth did a great job to capitalize and hold them to 18 in the fourth. No matter how many points you score, you're going to win a lot of games that way.
This is the third time in the past couple of weeks that Draymond has either gotten ejected or kind of left a game early, and you guys played really well after each three. How do you kind of square that?
We won the game. That's all we care about. That's all he cares about. I know he'd rather be out there. I don't know what he said to the ref, but I didn't think it was, or the consensus in the locker room was that it wasn't enough to get thrown out.
Without Draymond, what were some of the adjustments you guys made at halftime to sort of mitigate his loss?
I just ran a lot of pick and roll, kept it pretty simple. Like I said, I understood what they were trying to do defensively, whether it was a contained blitz or they were just going to switch and put the big on me. And you're able to kind of have a predictable offense that way. It was less chaos, off-ball action with me. So necessary adjustment with him out.
Steph, we know what Melt can do defensively, but how nice was it to see his three-point shot going early as well?
We know he can shoot, and there's no worry about that. You realize how much time he's had off in his injury, so you know it's a matter of time for him to get his rhythm. And the one thing about him, he's going to keep shooting. That's the best part of a guy that understands who he is, what he can do, and don't let misses, you know, linger in your head. You just keep shooting.
Personally, do you like the look-away three or the logo three more?
They're both great.
Steph, you and your dad passed the Shazes officially tonight for most games.
Who?
The Shazes, Dolphin Danny.
Oh, yeah. I heard what you said. Just keep going.
What does that one mean to you out of the things that you've accomplished already?
One, I'm mad at Raymond. He didn't tell me that when I left the court, so I could be prepared for that answer because I didn't know that was a thing. But it's cool, just longevity and the family business being in this game. Yeah, my brother's points, it's even better. So pretty special for the Curry family as a whole, knowing he played for 16 years. I'm in my 17th year, still trying to do it. And yeah, I mean, dream come true, to be honest.
Next game, you'll be two games ahead of
them. There we go.
So in that third quarter, after 17 years in the league, does that count for you as a dunk at this stage in your career?
I was joking with the whole bench because last year in Philly, I said that was my last dunk. And then I surprised myself and I got in the air that I was high enough. And then I made my mind up at the end I was going to try to turn it over. So I'm going to count it just because who knows how many chances I get, but I have to ask the locker room if they agree with me or not.
Steve was, you know, pretty upset with a few of the turnovers tonight. It's not like it was some crazy turnover night, but that aspect of the game seems to be wearing on him a little bit. How much do you just view that as like kind of the biggest problem that you guys continually need to solve?
It's been a talking point for a decade, you know. The way that we play, we know that there's going to be turnovers because we like to pass the ball. We, you know, have a lot of organized chaos with off-ball movement and all that type of stuff. It is just the type of turnovers to, you know you're going to have some. You never want anybody out there second-guessing or playing passive or, you know, timid to make a play. But it's the ones that are kind of mindless or just lead to, you know, easy, uncontested points on the other end that kill momentum. And no matter how great a defense you play, if you do that 3, 4, 5 times, you know, it's hard to overcome. So we had maybe 3 or 4 of those where there's no resistance from the defense. We're just turning the ball over. Those are the ones that are always going to get him red in the face. But overall, I think we've been doing a lot better the last couple weeks, even if the numbers are still relatively the same.
You guys are 6-2 in the last 8. Does it feel like, you know, you're generating momentum?
Yeah, obviously last night was rough. Toronto game was rough, but you do have to remember, you know, where we were a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and what's ahead in terms of, you know, opportunity to put, you know, string wins together. But I think our morale is pretty high, and, you know, we're playing hard and competing. But we'll see what happens after this game in LA and this homestand we have.
Steph, hearing you right. You're 17. You played nearly every second of that third quarter, and you had 20. You got, you know, the vibes going. But what are you running on fumes at that point? How do you feel after a quarter like that, where you play basically the whole way? And do you like Steve letting you play basically the whole quarter?
Yeah, it was a great feel tonight. Sometimes, you know, he has to make a decision, looking at time to score, looking at rotations and Draymond out and all that type of thing. But it's really all mental. Pretty resilient, able to adjust to how the game is going. You know, even though you're giving everything you got, you can still pace yourself, recover during timeouts, all that type of stuff. So I never really worry about it too much. I do love to keep going if I got a hot hand. That's, you know, what every player wants, especially if you got a rhythm like that. So then managing the game in the fourth quarter, knowing that they were going to try to take me out of it, but just playing under control, finish the game, and I knew I did enough in the third to get us the win.
All right, that's Steph Curry post game. A lot of good stuff there from Steph. Talked about Draymond Green's adjustments that the Warriors had to make once Draymond Green left the game. Said Draymond Green just cares about the Warriors getting the win. That's priority number one. Always wants to be out there is what Steph Curry said. He also joked about his dunk or no dunk in that third quarter, part of his 20-point third quarter, which was funny. He said, like, once he jumped, he was kind of surprised by the amount of air that he got and thought, oh, maybe I could turn this into a dunk. And I remember him saying after that Philadelphia game last year where he did dunk in Philly, and he said that was going to be the last dunk of his career. I don't think this one in the third quarter actually is going to count as a dunk. It was not initially scored that. I'd have to go back and look if it has been changed. But if you look at the replay, he did touch rim. He grabbed rim for a split second, but when he grabbed rim, the ball was like already released. So I think it's probably officially going to be scored as a layup, not a dunk, unfortunately, for Steph. But I'm with him. Just count it. Why not? I mean, he grabbed rim. Counted as a dunk. That's the kind of quarter it was for Steph. And I asked him at the very end there, you know, how do you feel after a quarter like that? And I know that dunk wasn't at the very end. It was like kind of in the middle of it all. The fact that he still has that in his legs while he's played every second of that third quarter up to that point, that's pretty impressive. And he said for him, it's really more all mental than physical. And I can imagine, well, I guess I can't really imagine. I would think that when you're just in that kind of zone, it is all mental, and you probably don't realize how gassed you are until you take a seat on the bench, and then it all probably kind of hits you once all of that, you know, juice kind of stops flowing. Because you're probably just running on adrenaline at that point. And when you're in that zone, you kind of black out a little bit. So it's crazy what he's able to do at age 37, play nearly an entire third quarter and be not good, not great, but flat out dominant for the entire third quarter. That was amazing to watch. Steph finishes with 31. 20 of his 31 came in that third quarter. Draymond Green ejected from this game late in the second quarter when the Warriors were down 10. The technical free throws that were made by the Jazz after he got ejected pushed the lead to 12, which was Utah's largest lead of the game. So Draymond leaves with the Warriors in the worst spot they've been in all game, and then the Warriors outscore Utah by 21 points the rest of the way. Steph Curry didn't say anything other than just, we got the win, that's what matters most. Draymond wants to be out there. But it is interesting because the Warriors now, in the last couple of weeks, have three games where Draymond, for one reason or another, did not finish the game, and the Warriors erased deficits, and a couple of them relatively large deficits, and turned them into, one, a blowout win, this one nearly a double-digit win, and another one a narrow win. So it's interesting the way that this has played out the last couple of weeks for the Warriors. If you want to weigh in, give me a call, shoot me a text, 888-957-9570. I was down there for Steph Curry's post-game presser, had to leave to get up and begin our Warriors wrap-up show, so I did not hear what Steve Kerr had to say. So let's hear from Steve Kerr and his post-game presser here on Warriors wrap-up. As the Dubs knock off the Jazz, 123-114, the final, they erase that 12-point deficit. They're back to two games above 500, and they do it on the backs of Steph Curry's 31. Jimmy had 15. Quentin Post had 15. I thought QP was really good in this game. They got 13 off the bench from Melton, probably his best offensive game of the season, and 10 as well from GP2, who I thought did a pretty good job defensively against Keontae George, who has been exploding offensively this year in the league. 22 points for Keontae George, but on 18 shots, it was Moses Moody. It was GP2. It was a couple of others taking turns on George. I thought GP2 did a pretty good job on him in this one. Okay, let's hear from Steve Kerr, his post-game presser here on Warriors Wrap-Up. After the Dubs, again, beat the Jazz 123-114, here's Coach Kerr.
What'd you like more about the second half than the first?
Just the level of connection and competition. I just thought the first half we went through the motions. The spirit wasn't right. And second half, guys really connected, came together, and put together a great 24 minutes.
What did you think about the Draymond ejection?
I didn't hear what he said, but it was a quick one. You know, I know I got the tee right away, and then Kevin tossed him almost immediately. So I don't know what he said, but I assume it was, you know, something that Kevin just wasn't going to listen to. So I don't know anything more about it than that.
Obviously, two quick ejections, and then the other game that he left in the third recently. Is that a concern? You know, I mean, just him missing, you know, large chunks of games recently. Is it a concern that he's, you know, been out early and
I mean, we need Draymond, and you know, I want him out there, so I think he might be up to about 9 techs, so he's got to, you know, we're not halfway through the season yet, so long way to go, and we need him.
Aside from him just being Steph, what changed as far as getting him in better rhythm in that third quarter?
Steph?
Yeah.
It wasn't me. You know, wasn't like play calls or anything. It was just Steph, you know, that's how good he is. And but again, everything felt right in the second half, the spirit, the energy, the level of competitive fight. And you're much more likely to make shots when you have that approach.
You've seen Melton's defense, but how good is it to get him seeing the three-point shot going early for him, and that two-way impact really showing up right now with D'Anthony?
Yeah, he's barely played for 2 years, so we knew it would take him some time to find his rhythm, and it feels like he's really finding it now.
Right here. So in addition to some of the behavioral stuff with Draymond popping up again, the team's only been positive in two games with him on the floor since the beginning of December. Is there anything you're seeing in terms of how the team's playing with him on the floor that's changed? Usually that you guys are great plus minus when he's out there.
Yeah, well, we've been a little jumbled this year. You know, we haven't quite found a rhythm, but I do feel better about the way we've played the last couple of weeks. You know, I think a lot of the numbers, you know, you get small sample sizes, you get, you know, you see different things happen. I mean, I can tell you this. I mean, you look at Draymond's career, and he's just, you know, on the plus side in a massive way over and over again. And the last, like I said, the last, you know, 8-10 games, we've started the same way. We've had a better feel, better rotation, and I think we're overall playing better, and I think he's playing better as well.
Steve, along those lines, I mean, Steph was just talking about morale and it being so high in the locker room. Do you feel like there's some momentum right now? You just referenced those, you know, these last 2 weeks, and just maybe the spirits are are good too?
Spirit's good. Like I said, first half it wasn't. But I have to say, you know, Buddy Hield didn't play tonight, but his energy on the bench, his just communication with players, staying engaged, Buddy was incredible. And, you know, I think Draymond said it a few weeks ago, Buddy's like one of his top five teammates of all time. He's one of my favorite players I've ever coached for this reason. You know, he's found himself out of the rotation right now, and he stays upbeat, stays positive, telling jokes on the bench, keeping guys loose. Buddy is an incredible human being, and I know his time's going to come back around, but this is what it takes, you know, to be a really good team, is to have everybody bought in. And especially the guys like Buddy who are out of the loop, you know, still being part of it and engaged. And he was fantastic tonight.
Hello, Coach. About turnover, I remember a couple of weeks ago, you said like constantly talking about this conversation maybe will affect the players emotionally. But like today, they have 10 turnover in the first half, 5 in the second half. Like, I was wondering how you approach this conversation recently about turnover.
Which conversation?
About turnover.
Oh, turnovers. Yeah. I don't bring it up anymore. And that's the truth. I'm no longer talking about turnovers with the team.
All right. About second, about Kevin Love, what's your impression of him? And after all this year, continue seeing him out of there and adjusting his roles on the court.
I love Kevin's love for the game, the fact that he's still playing, still effective. I don't know him well. I coached him briefly with USA Basketball. But I love guys like that who just love the game so much and are great teammates and contributing, you know, at an older age and in their careers. He's had an amazing career, and it's great to see him still out there contributing.
You were upset at a few of the turnovers tonight, pretty obviously. Steph called it, you know, it's a 10-year problem for y'all, but is it getting to you more this year than maybe in past years?
I mean, they matter more now. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know. We see it, you know, every night. If we take care of the ball, we generally win. If we don't, we lose. So they matter more, and I know we're capable. One thing I want to make sure of is that we start getting the ball to Jimmy more down the stretch of games. You know, we've lost all these clutch games, and there's nobody better in the league at protecting the ball, getting to the foul line, controlling the game. And we haven't done a good enough job of that, frankly, and that's on me. I've got to do a better job. But, you know, you get him the ball, the game settles, and you're much less likely to, you know, give up a transition three the other way because you're getting the ball in the paint, you're getting fouled, there's just a sense of control. We have to utilize that. Jimmy's one of the best in the league at that, and we're not doing it well enough. Thank you.
All right, that's Steve Kerr post-game after the Warriors knocked off the Jazz 123-114. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I think Steve Kerr spot on there with that last answer. The question from Anthony Slater of ESPN, just basically asking about turnovers, referencing what Steph Curry said about it, and he said that this has kind of been a 10-year conversation, a 10-year issue, the Warriors' turnover problem. And his answer was, well, they matter more now. They mean more now. They're more hurtful now, right? And I think he's probably talking about because the team just isn't as dominant everywhere else. You can survive a decent bunch of turnovers when you've got Steph and Clay and Draymond and KD and Iguodala and Sean Livingston and David West and all these guys that are playing at a high level. You can live with that. You still don't want it, and if it's hurting your team, you're going to discuss it and try to fix it. But the Warriors back then, they could commit 20 turnovers and win a game by 15 points because they were just so dang good in every other facet of the game of basketball. This this year, if you commit 20 turnovers, you're going to lose that basketball game. And tonight, the Warriors relatively took care of the basketball. They committed 15 turnovers tonight. But we can dive a little bit deeper into the numbers and figure out which, you know, are the Warriors better in the first half tonight, the second half tonight, where were the turnovers better or worse? And generally, that's going to correlate, and tonight it did. Warriors in the first half tonight, they committed 10 turnovers, which turned to 16 Utah points off of those 10 turnovers. The Warriors forced 6 Jazz turnovers, and that led to 7 Warriors points off turnovers. So Utah in the first half committed 4 fewer turnovers and scored 9 more points off of turnovers. Utah led by 7 at halftime. Okay, so first half. The notes from the first half: Warriors turn the ball over more than their opponents, give up more points off of turnovers than their opponents, and trail. All right? Pretty simple and straightforward. What about the second half? The Warriors turn the ball over only 5 times. Utah only gets 6 points off of those 5 turnovers. Utah commits 9 turnovers, and the Warriors get 13 points off of those turnovers. Okay, so second half, Warriors commit fewer turnovers, the Warriors get more points off of Utah's turnovers, and guess what? The Warriors win the second half by 16 points. Pretty darn simple. You turn the ball over, you're losing in the first half. You don't turn the ball over, and you win the second half. That is what it is for the Warriors, and it can't be any simpler. It really cannot be any simpler. And one of the other questions that Steve Kerr was asked was about the conversation that he has with his team about turnovers. And I don't know if he's 100% joking. There's probably at least some truth to this. But he essentially said, I don't have the turnover conversation with the team anymore. I don't talk about turnovers anymore. And I imagine this is Steve Kerr just refusing to be Sisyphus, rolling the ball, the boulder up the side of a hill over and over and over again, because he's just been talking and preaching about turnovers over the course of this entire season, and it hasn't changed. It got to a point where recently he's been taking the blame for it. You remember the Toronto game in Toronto where the Warriors blew that down the stretch, a game that they're still talking about in post-game pressers? Steph Curry talked about it in his post-game presser tonight. There was a play where Draymond, late in the fourth quarter, had the ball in the right corner, and I think they called like a back screen on the opposite wing and a flash on a cut towards Draymond by Jimmy Butler, like across the paint towards the right block. It might have been the screen more maybe on the top of the key, but it was Draymond handling the ball in the right corner and Jimmy flashing towards the right block on a cut with a down screen from somebody. And it was a called play from Steve Kerr, and Draymond's pass into Jimmy Butler really had no chance of being completed, and it was a turnover, and it was one of the reasons why the Warriors lost that basketball game. There are many other reasons. That was not the only turnover, but there were a lot of others, but that was one of them. And Steve Kerr postgame comes out and says, it was my fault. I put Draymond in a bad spot. Me calling that play, yada, yada, yada. It was my fault. That's on me. That's on me. That's on me. When in reality, okay, maybe the play you called didn't work, Steve, but your player probably shouldn't make the pass that has a really low probability of being completed to the teammate, right? So to me, the way I interpreted Steve Kerr taking the blame more often of late was, well, me talking about turnovers and highlighting when my players are making mistakes in that regard hasn't been working, so I'm going to try something else. And the thing that he was trying was, I'll take the blame and see how my players react to that. Well, now he's admitting he doesn't talk about it at all to the team. And I'm sure that's not 100% true. Maybe he's changed the messenger. Maybe it's Terry Stotts who's talking about the turnovers now, right? Like, I don't know exactly how it works behind the scenes. But Steve Kerr is just trying to find something else because what he has been doing of late hasn't really been working. I also think what Steph Curry said about the turnovers in his postgame presser was absolutely spot on, talking about the different kinds of turnovers. The different kinds of turnovers that the Warriors are committing. There's those ones that come out of the Warriors' controlled chaos, I believe is the phrase that Steph Curry used, controlled chaos. But there's ones where I think the better way to do it, and I wish the NBA would track these turnovers in their common, you know, easily available box scores, forced turnovers and not forced turnovers. What turnovers happened because the defense made a really good play? And I know some of it is subjective, and it's going to, you know, be up to the discretion of, like, an official scorer. But a ball where you have it in the half court, and you're throwing it backwards towards the top of the key because that's where Steph is, and you just throw it so wide of the mark that he can't corral it and it goes out of bounds, that should not be a forced turnover. That is an unforced turnover. It's not because the defense did something special. It's because you just can't throw a pass to the right spot. There was a moment in this game, I believe it was in the third quarter, actually, when the Warriors were on their roll and they scored 41 points. It might have been one of their two turnovers in that third quarter. But the ball kind of caromed out, I believe, to GP2 on the left wing. And he kind of, like, tries to catch it with one hand. And he caught it with one hand, but then kind of in one motion tried to whip a pass across court to Steph Curry on the right wing. And he didn't, you know, control it perfectly, and the pass, you know, didn't find the desired target and went crashing into the Warriors' bench, and Steph couldn't corral it. That's one where it's not because the defense, it's because GP2 didn't, you know, corral the pass the right way, or didn't just take the time to throw a pass with two hands, keep it controlled. Now, again, some of that is on the edge of chaos and versus controlled chaos, because the quicker you get the ball out to Steph, the better. The defense is going to react, and they're going to get out to him relatively quick, so you want to get the ball to him as soon as possible, but not at the risk of throwing a ball away entirely and not even getting a look at the rim. So Steph is absolutely right. There are different kinds of turnovers that we're talking about, and the Warriors of late have been, not of late, this entire season have been guilty of both kinds of turnovers. The ones that you can live with and can accept, and the ones that you just simply can't, and the ones that drive coaches, and Steph Curry, by the way, crazy. Steph is also, at times, one of the guilty parties in relation to this. And it's always happened in his career. It's always going to happen because that's the kind of player that he is. He plays on that, you know, very thin knife's edge of, you know, overly chaotic or just controlled chaos. But at times, he has been one of those guys that has committed some of these turnovers, as has Draymond Green, as has, at times, everybody on this Warriors roster. Hence why Steve Kerr, I think, is just trying something new, and his latest strategy is just to not talk about turnovers at all, because, it hasn't really helped. Talking about turnovers hasn't really helped just yet, because they're still committing all those turnovers. But in the second half tonight, just five turnovers. Surprise, surprise, you commit just five turnovers and you win a half of basketball by 16 points. And tonight as a whole, 15 turnovers as a team. I've said, like, I think 14 is probably the number that Steve Kerr would be happy with. Anything more than that, he probably gets a little uneasy, but 15 is not a bad number, especially when you force 15 on the other end as well. You will live with an even turnover game, and that's what tonight was. The Utah Jazz +2 in points off of turnovers, but overall, turnovers essentially was pretty darn even. I also think we were talking a little bit earlier, and we only got a few more minutes left with you here, so if you want to weigh in, do so now, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call, and it is also the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. The other part of Steph's greatness, and you can see this in a box score. I was talking about it earlier with Steph's gravity and when he gets on one, how defenses just have to overload to where he is, and it resulted in that easy Trayce Jackson-Davis dunk, right? Like, there's so many beneficiaries to this. The easy way, in my opinion, to see this is by looking at the points in the paint number. And this might surprise you, because when you think of Steph and you think of his greatness, you think of what he does shooting the basketball from outside and specifically from downtown, and that's obviously true. Like, Steph tonight scored, let's focus on the third quarter. Steph scored 20 points in the third quarter, and he made 4 of his 6 shots from deep. So 12 of his 20 points came from deep, and 4 of the others came from the free throw line. So we're looking at only, what, 4 points, 2 made field goals inside the arc in that third quarter, 2 made field goals inside the arc on his 20-point third quarter. So how possibly could you see Steph's greatness in the points in the paint number? Well, let me explain it to you. In the first half, when Steph only scored 9 points, the Warriors only scored 18 points in the paint. Utah had a plus 20 points in the paint edge in the first half. They had 38 points in the paint in the first half. The Warriors had 18 points in the paint in the first half. That, again, is coinciding with Steph's 9 points in the first half. So Steph had a ho-hum half, and the Warriors get absolutely blown out in the points in the paint category. It also, again, correlates to the score of that first half. The Jazz won the first half by 7 points. Now let's focus on the third quarter, right? Third quarter for the Warriors, when Steph goes out. Steph scores Steph scores 20 points, 6 for 8 from the field, 4 for 6 from downtown, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. What do you think happened for the Warriors in terms of points in the paint in the second half? Once Steph goes out and the rest of the Jazz have to kind of react to that, okay? And again, it doesn't just happen in the third quarter. It happens as the defense is reacting to Steph going off. After just 18 points in the paint in the first half, the second half the Warriors had 28 points in the paint. 28 points in the paint. And it's not as if they just scored a whole bunch more points in the second half than they did in the first half. They scored more, but only 7 more. 58 points in the first half, 65 in the second half. Or you can also see Steph's impact, which goes beyond his shooting. It is the points in the paint number. Because when opponents have to take away Steph more so than usual, it opens up everything else, and specifically it opens up the paint. It's why in the second half Quentin Post had 10 points. It's why in the second half Trayce Jackson-Davis had 8 points. It's why Jimmy Butler had 8 points in the second half despite not making a single three-pointer. The Warriors 28 points in the paint in the second half after only 18 in the first half. That's because Steph's gravity is having a major impact on the Utah defense, allowing things inside. Trayce Jackson-Davis, who basically is only ever going to score in the paint, 8 points all in the paint in the second half, and it's because the defense was just so dang worried about Steph Curry. That is also the impact that you see Steph Curry have. He's great, and it's greatness that the box score cannot capture because it goes beyond the points that he scores and the threes that he makes. It leads to so many other points for the Warriors. This isn't a stat that comes up on box scores, but you can find it in certain places, and you can track it yourself if you want. There's like points created, that number, points created, and James Harden in his heyday was kind of the king of this because he would score 40 points and he'd dish out 17 assists, and a bunch of those 17 assists would be on three-pointers. So you'd be looking at points accounted for, I think is the better phrase. Points accounted for, points that you scored and points that came off of your assists. And there would be games where James Harden would be accounting for like 70 points in a basketball game because he scored 40 and dished out 17 assists. There should be an added category to that, and it's points created because of the attention the defense is playing to you. And for Steph specifically, it's points created because of Steph's gravity. And that's what almost every bucket, while Steph was on the floor in the second half, was either Steph scoring or because of Steph's gravity. So again, his impact just goes so far beyond the box score. It is impossible to accurately calculate it if you're just looking at a box score. He is otherworldly. I don't think there's ever going to be another player quite like him. And watching him play basketball tonight was a pleasure. And it always is. He was amazing tonight. So the Warriors, on the backs of that great Steph Curry performance, they win 123-114. They're back to 2 games above 500 at 19-17. This was their last home game of this little 2-game homestand. They're in LA versus the Clippers coming up on Monday. Then they return home for 8 in a row at home. An 8-game homestand, not, of course, all in a row, not on consecutive days. There is one back-to-back on that 8-game homestand. It is the final two games of the homestand, Miami and Toronto, the 19th and 20th of January, to close out the homestand. But the homestand opponents, again, after the Clippers in LA on Monday, it's Milwaukee at home on Wednesday, Sacramento at home next Friday, Atlanta on Sunday, a week from tomorrow, then Portland, then the Knicks, then Charlotte, then Miami, and then Toronto. I think a lot of Warrior fans, we put this poll up on our 95.7 The Game Twitter page yesterday. In this 11-game stretch, which began last night with OKC, 8-3 should be the target. OKC loss, which means in the next 10, including tonight, 8-2 should be the target. You got the win tonight, which means in the remaining 9 games of this stretch, 7-2 should be the Warriors' target. We'll see if they can get that done. There are certainly a handful of winnable games here, more so than winnable. Sacramento is absolutely a winnable game. Despite Portland having 3 wins versus you this season, you feel like that is absolutely a winnable game. Atlanta, it's not going to be like a gimme game. They have talent. Jalen Johnson is a superstar in this league. Just not a lot of people know it quite yet. They're going to be tough. They have a decision to make on Trae Young. They need to trade Trae Young. The Trae Young era, I believe, is over in Atlanta. That's a conversation that we can have when that game does come around. It's not going to be a gimme game. They got some talent, but they're kind of stuck in the mud, and they're stuck in no man's land as long as Trae Young is on that roster. But that could be a game that you absolutely can win. Charlotte, it feels like a game you could absolutely win. And then the back-to-backness of the Miami-Toronto back-to-back make it difficult to kind of break that one off. There aren't a bunch of gimmies here, but there are a lot of games when you're at home that you would expect to win, and that's what the Warriors have to do. All right. Warriors get the win, 123-114. That's the final. Dubs 19-17. They are now in their last 8 games, 6-2. Not bad. 6-2 are the Warriors in their last 8. They go from 2 games under 500 at 13-15 off that 1-point loss in Phoenix, 99-98 on December 18th. Since then, 6-2. They take that 13-15 mark and put it up to 19-17. We'll see what the Warriors do coming up Monday in LA. I believe the Clippers played today. Let me check that that final score for you here. The Clippers had won 6 games in a row. Ooh, they got absolutely smacked by the Celtics in LA today. So they will not be on a back-to-back. They are sleeping in their own beds tonight and tomorrow night in preparation for the Warriors on Monday. They lost 146-115. That was the final score. Boston absolutely dominated the Clippers. Kawhi played in that game. He's been dropping 40 like it's been nothing of late. He scored just 22. I say just 22 like that's some sort of terrible number. But the Clippers get dominated 146-115. So the Clippers' 6-game winning streak is snapped. And that is the last game they play before the Warriors are in town coming up on Monday. That game is at 7, which means Warriors Live begins at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game. All right, that'll do it for Warriors Wrap Up tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in after the Dubs beat the Jazz 123-114. Shout out to our guys back in our downtown San Francisco studios. I don't know if everybody out there understands what happens on game days in a radio station. But we got our guys, Cam Williams, Steven Rizzotto, working their butts off with both Niner games and Warrior games happening at the same time. There was a moment in time where these games were overlapping. It is not easy to get everything done for both of those games, and it was just those two guys back in our studios. So shout out to Cam Williams. Shout out to Steven Rizzotto. Doing a great job as always. We're very, very grateful for your guys' hard work. And everything that they did today, you're going to hear a lot of it on Monday here on 95.7 The Game, when I'm sure all the show is going to be talking Niners. At that point, we're going to know the Niners division or wild card round opponent, whether it's going to be in either Carolina or Tampa or in Philly or in Chicago. A lot of the stuff you're going to hear from the Niners, from the Warriors tonight, it's because of those guys back in the studio. So kudos to you two gentlemen. Great work as always. Thanks to you as well. for listening, for watching, however you are. I appreciate you for tuning in, as always, and thanks for the interaction both on YouTube and on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. My name is Mark Graney, signing off. Thank you so much for tuning in. Dubs victorious tonight, 123-114. Have a great rest of your Saturday night, and I'll talk to you on Monday right here on 95.7 The Game.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,